it's a beautiful day to experience some beautiful insights into the life. So our life becomes a beautiful and meaningful journey to eternity. The journey to peace, the journey to love, the journey to light, and the journey to liberation. Today I am going to share some insights which I have learned from the teaching of Mahavira and from my teacher and from my own experience. What I have learned from the teaching of Mahavira is a reverence for life. All prosperity, all progress, all peace emanates and stems from this root of reverence for life. This is foundation. A person who does not have reverence for life may try for prosperity, for peace, for progress, for poise, but the person would not be able to reach the goal, the destination, the aim, because he has taken a wrong direction and he does not have the guiding force behind. You have a beautiful tape recorder or computer or refrigerator or any gadget. It may be costly, but to run it you need electricity behind it. Without electricity, that is just an instrument, just a gadget. It has appearance, but it does not have the dynamic motion or action. So in life also, we need some force behind. So what is this force? It will be very meaningful if we pay attention to this teaching. This is a precious teaching, I tell you friends, it is a precious teaching. It can change our life. It can add joy, peace, and creativity to our life, if we understand it and practice it. So what is this electricity? Electricity is self, your higher self, your true self, your real self. In psychology they call it subconscious. All this flow is flowing from that storehouse of subconscious. Subconscious stores everything. Whatever you drop in it, everything is stored inside. We forget. Our mind is not able to remember everything. But whatever we read, we hear, we see, we experience, we go on dropping everything in our subconscious. It's a storehouse. What psychologists call subconscious is known here in this teaching as the real self. In Sanskrit we call Atma. The Atma has the capacity, the power, an inherent quality to be Paramatma, means Supreme Soul, Divine Soul and Divine Consciousness equals to that state of Godhood. This is the Self. And because of that, this Self, everything is moving in us. Everything is active in us. Everything we are experiencing because of it. The moment that Self, that energy leaves this body, the senses, the body becomes without energy and it becomes like a corpse. It is corpse. This energy keeps everything together. Do you know what is our body? What is our body? It is called Pudgala. It's a Sanskrit word, Pudgala. Pud means to fill and gala means to empty. It is every moment something is filling in and something emptying out. Life, the body is nothing but integration and disintegration. Every moment something is disintegrating and something is integrating. So it's a play of integration and disintegration. That is why from the small sperm it grows on, growing, the person becomes 120, 140 pounds, 50 pounds, 60 pounds, grows on. And the time comes slowly, slowly the person becomes thinner and by 80 or 90 the person becomes just bunch of bones and small thin body. We don't notice this whole change, but whether we notice it or not, the change is there. Behind this all change, there is changeless. That changeless is Self, that is called Atma. That does not change. What changes is the outer shell, the body, the senses, the atoms, our cells. They are changing every minute. Now, the science of technology and biology and psychology, they all are slowly, slowly coming to this understanding that we are changing every minute. Our cells are changing, our body is changing, and our vibrations are changing. But behind all the changes, there is changeless. What is that changeless? That is called Self. To have reverence for that Self is the heart of this teaching of Jainism. Reverence. You have respect. You don't have bad feelings, bad ideas, bad concepts, bad guilt. And if one is loaded with guilt, bad feeling, bad ideas, and bad concept, the person is gravitating. The person is not able to float, not able to fly, not able to soar in the infinite sky. And we are travelers. We are soaring in the infinite sky. We are always moving on. We have come here moving from unknown and we are preparing for another flight. We are resting here. We have forgotten that. It is just time to rest. Rest may be for 100 years. But what is 100 years? It is just a moment in eternity. Moment in eternity. 100 years is not even a moment. It is a speck of dust in the desert of sands of eternity. So we are resting here, and we prepare our wings, and when we are ready, we fly. What a beautiful feeling if we can understand, we understand life. But unfortunately, we are conditioned with so many wrong concepts, so many wrong dogmas, so many religious commands, and because of that, we are loaded and we are heavy and we are not able to understand the lightness of flight of our consciousness. So, what we are here to do is to build and feel and experience reverence for life. When you sit and when you have some moments, you take this moment to experience what you are. So, there are 5 steps which are given in this teaching. The first thing is they call kayasarga, means drop the tension of the body and just relax. Kaya means the body, and usarga means to drop the tension which is in the body. Usarga means drop. You drop the tension. As long as there is tension in your body, so long you will not experience the flow of energy. The tension stops the circuit of the energy which brings the energy from within, the power from within. It blocks the circuit. And why do we experience this tension? Because that time our mind is caught up either in anger or in jealousy or in vindictiveness or in competition or with some kind of past heaviness or guilt. And these are destructive, negative emotions block the circuit of this energy which comes and makes our life light. So, higher sarga, your first step is to relax. Just sit and feel that you are a leaf, a wet leaf on the floating log on the water. You say, a floating log on the water, and you are a wet leaf sitting on it, and you feel so relaxed like that. This is an image for the mind and for the body. And when you relax and you see the tension, you see, and you feel, okay, what is tension, what does not allow you to relax? You see, what is blocking you? It is like a flute. You are playing flute, and when you are not able to create music, melody, you take the flute and see, what is blocking inside? Is there any piece of cloth or a piece of paper which is blocking? So, your breath does not move through all the holes and does not create music. So you take out that stuffing piece of paper or anything is clogging that flute, and then you take off this clogging element, and when the flute is empty and you play beautiful melody on that small flute. This small flute, the flute can create melody and music. Why do we not? We are human beings, we can create music in life, but we have to see what is there which blocks my breath, my energy. So you see, so when we do kaya sarga and just relax, and that time you watch each part of your body, watch, are you relaxed completely? And there is an observation, and you are taking inward journey. The journey not out, your journey within. You are taking a trip in your body, you are moving. So as somebody has a new house and big mansion and the friend comes, hey, let me show you, let me take you to the rooms and show you, let us take a journey, let us go in. In the same way, we are going through all our senses and mind and body and see where is this blockage. And this is a self-observation. We watch. And there we have to be honest, sincere. We don't do because the religion tells us. We don't do because there is commandment. You don't do because it is written in the scripture. You do it because you want to do it. You don't brush your teeth because somebody has told you that you brush your teeth. You brush your teeth because you feel good. So you clean your inner world, your senses, your mind, because you want to feel good. And as long as there is hatred, bad feeling, and tension, antagonistic feeling, so long there is no room for joy. There is no room for joy. And that is why always it is mentioned that before you take milk in your vessel, see, the vessel must be clean. Dirty vessel cannot hold pure milk, otherwise it will spoil. So you think of all beautiful things, but if there is all tension, whatsoever you pour in it, it will be polluted. So we are cleaning our mind as we clean our teeth. We clean our brain as we clean our body with the bath and shower. It is not something uncommon or esoteric. It is a simple way of, practical way of living. And Madhuri did not teach any mysterious thing. He says, just see what is happening in your life instead of creating a mystical mystery around you. Because in mystery and in the mist you will be lost. Throw light on yourself so all the mist and the mystery will be cleared and you will be able to see exactly as you are. So when mind is now is clean and clear, there is a feeling of love and I found. When our mind is in love and peace, I tell you, the energy flows, good feeling flows, you feel so light. You can't help without dancing, you dance. Because they become wings. So the first step is to relax, and that they call is a learn a special art of creative relaxation. It is called creative relaxation. It is creative because you are watching and observing and moving, and you are liberating yourself from the tension, from bad feeling. So it is creative. It is creating something. So it is creative relaxation. It is not inertia. It is not sleep. It is not just lying down. It is creative. So one is that. The second thing comes, and the second step is Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Faith in what? Everywhere you will hear that, have faith in God. have faith in books, have faith in religion. Mahavir says, it is a wrong way to live life. Have faith in yourself, in your consciousness, in your power, in your hidden energy. So the first step, as you relax and then you come to the second step, Shraddha means faith in your hidden powers. And you and me, we all are holding the reservoir of energy, reservoir of power. And I have noticed, in crisis, we create marvelous, incredible things, incredible events we create in crisis. The thoughts, the ideas, generally do not come, but when we are in crisis, all of a sudden they start rushing to us. That shows that something is in us. You know, I think in 1905 or something in California, there was a fire and earthquake at that time in hospitals and in nursing homes, all the people, old, who could not move, but when they saw there was earthquake and fire, they all rushed out of the hospital and nursing home and they came out all tired, old, retired, weak people, they all were out. And somebody asked, how could you move? You were not able to move. And they said, I don't know. Because your mind creates weakness, you tell yourself that I can't do, so you can't do. That time, your mind does not work, the consciousness works. In crisis, we create marvelous things in our life. And each of us has. And sometimes we have an expression, don't lead me to the corner, and then you will see what I am. We are good till somebody does not lead us to the corner. And when somebody is really bent upon you to lead you to corner, all of a sudden your energy comes, even a cat, small cat, very tiny, very weak, very, very, and you put into the small room and corner it and see its furiousness and its strength and its violence. A tiny cat. And when it looks at you, you know what fire of violence is there in its eye, because it is put in the corner. Cornered. So we have energy. And we don't have the faith in that energy. Mahavir says the reverence starts when you have faith in yourself. And you make at that time an inner commitment to yourself, not to somebody, not to religion, not to the preacher, not to the teacher. A commitment to yourself that I am not going to hurt myself. I am not going to destroy myself. I am not going to ruin myself. One day I told my friend that I was traveling in a train, and in the first class compartment we were three people, and these two people were sitting, and another person was a little bit with a hot temperament, and he was arguing, but another person was calm. When the junction came, railway station, so I got out to have fresh air. That fellow also came out, so I asked him, are you a meditator? He said, why do you ask me? Then I told him that this your partner was arguing with hot exchanging words and with temperament, and you were very cool and calm and composed. You must be a meditator. And he told me that my meditation is this, that I have realized myself. And I have made a commitment to myself. I will not let any person to ruin my day and peace. I will not let any person to ruin my day. So he can try anything, he can jump in the whole compartment railway, but I will not allow him to disturb my peace. I know how to maintain. Let him do what he wants to do. But I have power how to live with myself. And I said, you have learned this art. This is the thing. You don't allow others to control you. Otherwise, they control you from distance. Remote control. There are so many people. They control you. Somebody said, my mother is controlling me. Somebody said, my father is controlling me. Somebody said, my husband is controlling me. Somebody said, my wife is controlling me. But they control you. But why do you give them the remote control? Why do you give them? Can you not stop that? No, I will not allow that. I don't give you my remote control and you can control from there. No, you can't do it. I am I, because you are born alone. Just alone. And in the interval, there are so many people, beautiful. Enjoy sharing life and thoughts and ideas and food with everybody. But you should not forget, when the time comes, again the journey is by oneself. As we came darting in the world, in the same way we leave darting from the world. We are the travelers to eternity. And we are moving onwards. And if we meditate on that, we will be clear from all the foggy thoughts. Our mind, I tell you, people I see, they are the bag of confusion and contradiction. A bag of contradiction. You ask people, and they say, we want to have pure air. We want to inhale and breathe fresh, pure air. And go down and buy with a 70 or 75 cents a cigarette box. And go on smoking 20 cigarettes. Why? Because they want pure air. See? Pay 70 cents to this 10 or 20, the smog collecting cigarettes, tobacco. And when they talk, I love fresh and pure air. So what are you doing? People are mad of contradiction. I tell you, contradiction is their life. They talk about health. They don't want cancer. But cigarette is all right, because it brings that kind of sickness which kills your live cells. They don't want heart attack, but they want to smoke so they can die soon. They don't want any diabetes. No, they don't like. But the way they eat, all white flour, sugar, candies, and all this pop, all drinks, soft drinks, full of sugar and chemicals, they're all pouring day and night. And when your children are drinking Coca-Cola and Pepsi, you like, smile, my son, every day, at least he needs 10 cans of Pepsi, and you're happy. What are you doing to your children? There is poison. We don't notice it. But we are really not aware of our thing, so we are slowly loading all the things, and then the body becomes so heavy, and then we are not able to maintain, and diabetes, kidney failure, and all the diseases, one after another, they go on visiting, and doctors are making so many efforts to get rid of the germs and find new way of helping, and different plantation and different way to replant heart and kidneys and other things. But the way the people live, they don't know. I tell you, one man in 90 came from France. He was starving. in France. So he came to America. You know, that is why I want to mention this here. He came and he got a good job. He got some money. So he wanted to compensate for the starvation he had in France. So he started eating. And he would see that his refrigerator would be full of all the junk food. And on the table, all this thing will be there, and he would eat, and he became like a football. He ate a lot. He said, I was starving in France. I am going to now compensate with all the things, and I am going to eat now. In 40s, he died because of the heart attack. Coronary thrombosis. He died at 40. He had one son. His name was Jack. This Jack also was following his father's footsteps. One day, with his mother, he went to a lecture where the doctor was giving all the information about health. And how to build our body, how to be healthy, until the last day, how to maintain our rosy health. This boy, 16 years boy, picked up those some insights, because young people are sometimes open. They are very sensitive and open. Some people who have the very, very tough neurons, and they say, oh, we know it, but they know it and they don't see it. But some young people are open, some mature people are open. It depends upon their openness. And he was one of the open young boys. And he went home and he told his mother that now on from today, I am going to change my food. I am going to change my habit and I will do exercise. And this man, at the age of 19, he opened a small club in Oakland. And the gymnastics, and there he was doing exercise, he built his body. In Hollywood, he opened Jack Lennon. And the club and Hollywood people started coming. And to show to the people how you can change your body, he did on the TV in half an hour 1,033 the exercises and sit-ups and different all the things, half an hour, 1,033. The same person. He built this club, and then he was able to show the strength of the body. He was swimming to the Golden Gate, and there was turmoil in the water. He was able to turn a boat in which 70 children were sitting, and he wanted to give example to the 70 children that I can swim and turn the boat. So much energy we have. We have all energy, but we don't know what we are doing. Food is playing a great role, and pure food, not ready food, not violent food, and that becomes a nourishment, this becomes a nectar. Because in your food there is no any curse. In your food there is no any violence. In your food there is no any life is suffering. And with your way of reverence, you are seeing the pain of life as you see your pain. But we are not aware of our pain, so we are not aware of the animal's pain. Really, we are not aware what is happening. People think that I don't want to have any pain, but we are the people every day send an invitation to pain. The way we become angry, the way we become egotistical, the way we are trying to show off, with the way we are trying day and night to get approval from the people, are they not the way to hurt ourselves? What the people are going to give approval to you who do not know themselves? And their approval we need? are day and night disintegrating, who are on the journey to disintegration, what their approval we need, but we don't know. So that is why we are waiting for their approval, and to get their approval, you know, my friends, how much tension we have to build. How much energy we have to put, how much tension we have to create in our words, in our feeling, in our relation. The natural way is lost. We are no more natural. So we come here to this second step to find ourselves and get reverence for is Shraddha, faith and belief, not in others, in yourself. And say, I am all right. You stand before the mirror and say, I am all right. This instrument, I need it, I have all right. Don't compare yourself with others, because that fellow is tall and I am small, or that lady is very pretty, I am not pretty. You can't wear somebody's mask. You are you. You have to be you are. And the moment you accept yourself, lot of tension goes away. You say, I will be all right. So you use your energy and the beauty will come out, because the diamond brings out its radiance from within, not from outside. It may be a small diamond, but it says, I am small, but I am diamond. The small diamond does not compare with the big diamond. But the small diamond brings out its radiance. So it adores the place. It may be in a small ring, or it may be in a small earring, but the small diamond has its own radiance, its own light. Here the human beings are really torturing themselves by comparison, and day and night we want to be like somebody. And that is a torture. When we can't become, then we have competition. When we have competition, then from that the jealousy comes. And from the jealousy we start burning ourselves. The inside burn. And to calm down or hush down that burning, people take alcohol, take smoking, take marijuana, take all the drugs, and sleeping tablets. I don't know any animal take sleeping tablets, I tell you. They get sound sleep. Why we get so many sleeping tablets? Why? Because we have university degrees, we are all civilized people, this is the civilization, that we want to have sleeps and tablets for everything. For move to bowels we need tablets, and to get sleep also we need tablets, and to get some energy to pep up our energy we need tablets, and to get sleep, everything with tablets. Friends, if we really build reverence for ourselves, as Mani told, that my teaching has nothing to do with in any mystical thing, just practice and make your life as I have made. The second thing is to have faith in yourself. When you have conviction and faith that I have, then the reservoir you find within. And say, yes, I have this energy. Now the third thing, now you go and then you meditate. The experience you have, try to stay with it. And in that meditation, you are seeing what you have dropped for time immemorable. You have dropped so many beautiful things in, so you start walking in them. So many beautiful thoughts we have read, so many good things we have heard, so many beautiful things we have seen, and so many beautiful epics we have read. How many good things we have heard and saw and experienced. Now they will come to the surface. Generally they don't come because they are buried in all the junk. In meditation they come to the surface, because you don't have tension, you are faith in yourself, belief in yourself. So now, when you have this belief, there is somebody mentioned in a beautiful way. When you believe, then you conceive. And when you conceive, then you receive. When you believe, then only you conceive. And when you conceive, you receive. So that statement I liked very much. This shows that now you started believing, so now you started conceiving, and now you started receiving. That I have so many beautiful insights, and they come. I saw when my mind is calm, like the lake, and the water is clean and pure, you can see what is at the bottom. In the same way, when our mind is calm and clean, we see what is at the bottom of our consciousness. There are beautiful things, beautiful ideas, and from that insight, all the poets, artists, and painters, and big creative scientists are drawing the energy and insight. This from this reservoir it comes. And for that, from his calmness, you can see Archimedes, when he was relaxing in the tub and taking bath and relaxing, meditating, and then all of a sudden he got the insight. Eureka! Eureka! And he ran because the insight he found, and I found it. When Isaac Newton was sitting under the tree and watching, at that time the apple fell and he got insight, my God, from the apple. Benjamin was sitting and relaxing and calm, and that time he saw the kite. So yes, electricity can be tapped. I see. One after another, all the creative masters, they got insight when they were calm, when they were with themselves. So when I read the life of Einstein or Albert Schweitzer or any person, I see that they got the insight when they were with themselves, when they were calm, they were believing in themselves, and that state of relaxation, of meditation, they got the insight. But I found the people who try to be macho in the world, those who wanted to show to the world that we are, I see their destructiveness. And when I see the flight of Napoleon, poor man with all his energy destroyed himself and became ultimately the prisoner in the later life of his life, Napoleon Bonaparte. Alexander the Great, he was such an energetic, dynamic young man, and that time Aristotle told him, now you can do so many things, and this person tells Aristotle that, sir, you don't know, I want to conquer the world. I will go to India and become monarch. And what he did, he killed so many lives. And he was coming, and then one night he met a thief, and then he caught the thief, and then he asked, what are you doing? The thief was very brave, and he answered, sir, what you are doing, I am doing the same thing. What I am doing? He said, you are doing on a big scale, I am doing on a small scale. You are doing during the day, I am doing at night. Loot, robbery, hurting people, and taking somebody's things, you are doing, but you got the license, power, army. And I don't have, so I am called chief, and you are called monarch. Ultimately, that fellow died with tears that nothing comes with him, and he has to keep the eyes, hands open. And you see Hitler was trying to be a conqueror in the world, and what did he get? And these people, when they go, the people have a peace of mind, peace of world, and they feel happy that this sorrow is gone. But the good people, when they go, people feel pain that they have left one of their part of life. So, meditation, how enhances the beauty of life and see this mortalness and war and destruction, how destroy the life. When Hitler asking a soothsayer, and he had faith in the soothsayer, so he asked, so when would I die? So he answered the soothsayer that you will die on Jewish holiday. He said, Jewish holiday? I am against Jewish people, and how can I die on that day? So this person beautifully answered that the day on which you die, it may be any day, but that day will be the holiday for Jewish people. Because such people are a burden to the earth and violence to the world, and when they die, people get relief of this kind of tension and war and killing. So you see, in the history of mankind, we have to learn and not be brainwashed with this all what is happening in the world, and we color our mind with ideas and violence and all isms, and with these isms we don't feel what we are. Nationalism and idealism and patriotism, and that way we are hurting so many people. And you see what is happening because of this, what's happening in, you see, in Africa, south of Africa. People are killed and butchered, and nobody has. If somebody does in another country, but they are not calling themselves a different idealism, so people don't talk about them. But there is a pain. Not to allow people to speak their feelings, not to have their freedom, not to have their peaceful life. It is controlling. What kind of control they have? Because of this all the war. So friends, the third step in meditation leads you to peace and relaxation, and you feel love for all life. You don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to control anybody. You don't want to violate somebody's rights. And life, everybody has a right to live. And you don't want to control. This kind of feeling we can build. We can build. And we have to build. And how can we build? If we have reverence for ourselves. And with this reverence, we will have reverence for all life. And that is why Tolstoy wrote a letter to Gandhi. In this letter he wrote that without killing, one beautiful part of our life, we are not able to kill any life on the earth. Before we kill any life on the earth, destroy any life on the earth, we kill the beautiful part of reverence for life in us. And that statement is beautiful. So, see, what we have to select, any idea which is helping us to be loving is welcome, but any idea which creates violence, antagonistic feeling, or any kind of hatred, we have to drop. They are not healthy for us, and they are not helpful for us. So the third step he has given is dhyana. Dhyana means meditation. So in meditation, dhyana, from dhyana they call zen. It is derived word from Sanskrit. From dhyana it becomes zen. So dhyana means you are taking time to see your inner reservoir. Now, when you have seen this thing, now you come to the fourth step. And that step is a continuous reminder, because mind easily forgets it. You will see, it forgets very beautiful things, very nice and superb things. It remembers unnecessary, useless things. If somebody has praised you 100 times and thanked you 1,000 times, you don't remember. But once the person has insulted you, you will remember for the whole life. Once somebody has insulted, that becomes so much, and we are not ready to deduct one insult from this 99 thanks or 100 thanks, but we have a tendency to remember one unpleasant thing and forget the pleasant things. So here, the fourth step is to remember your aim, your mission, what you want to do. So with this, you are going inside, and there you are remembering what is your aim in life. This you can do in 2 or 3 ways to experience reverence. Either you take a beautiful word and what we call mantra. Mantra means you compose the word in a beautiful way, so you can recite it, remember it, and you give that nourishment to your brain. Because it is like the computer, whatsoever software you put in it, it works in it. Or you can make a beautiful card and stick it on the mirror, so when you go to wash your face or brush your teeth to see yourself, you see in that. And these must be the positive statements which come from your experience and write down. So again and again, they go on reflecting on your neurons and on yourself. They remember, like the Polaroid camera, they pick up the what is in front of them. So the mantra, or the positive statement, or in psychology what they call, or the auto-suggestion, they are all the same. Only the way they put in a different way. So here what we see, that in that state, what we are doing is to enforce. Enforce that life is for love and not for hate. You tell yourself, life is for love, not for hate. Life is for peace, not for war. Life is for music, and not for chaos. And life is an order and not disorder. And my life is for happiness and not for misery. When we go on feeling this, and not only telling, in that moment you go in and feel the words should permeate and melt in our consciousness. As the sugar melts in milk or in tea and then it becomes sweet, in the same way your words melt in. And you say, life is for peace or love. Love, so I don't want hate. So you have a choice. Keep love and throw away hate. Life is for peace, not for hate, so you throw away hate. Or throw away war. Life is for happiness, not for misery, so you drop misery and keep happiness. Life is for music, not for chaos, so you drop all the mental and physical chaos and be in that music. And you say, life is for bliss and not for any tension. So this way you are replacing one with another. Slowly, slowly you come to that state where you feel reverence for life. and you say, yes, I am energy, I am Atma, I am soul. So these four steps you take, and you will see how your life becomes a music and blissful and peaceful and joyful. And I pray that let your life be prosperous with the vibration, with the vibrations of reverence for life. Namaste.